Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I'm the Big Jack, and welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. And wait, I said Friday, right?
Start spreading the news.
Oh, you know what that music means. Schomburg Stu is here with me. Stu, how you doing?
I'm okay, and I would recommend to anybody listening that if you ever get a chance to try the plant-based turkey, don't.
not a good experience for you yesterday, is what you're saying?
To say the least, it was not. So I know that you like that, some of the vegetarian stuff, so maybe you might like it.
Yeah, like I emailed you, I've had good and bad. So I don't know. I'm a little leery. I actually looked at one and almost bought it, but I realized it would just be, too many leftovers with my restriction by the time I finish. It'd go bad before I could finish eating it.
Yeah,
so I passed.
You couldn't refreeze it?
I don't know if that would be the best idea. So, I probably could have like cut it in half and made half and then put the other half back in. But, if I don't like it, what do I do with the other half then?
Right, right. So. And one of these days they have a smaller one that comes out, not as much in terms of quantity. You might give it a try.
Well, and on the plus side here, in a few weeks, my diet goes back to a normal calorie count, so I can, if I'm actually that interested, I could do it for Christmas if I wanted to do something like that. But I don't know, we'll see. So, but anyways, before I
forget, I was going to say one more thing. I probably wouldn't recognize you if I saw you now, right? It'd be difficult.
Probably not. I've actually heard that, but let me run through the plugs before I forget. If you want to call in and talk to Stu and I, it doesn't have to be about vegan turkey. We can talk sports if you'd like. 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Now, anything else you're looking for, just head on over to sportstimeradio.com. The blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays. So there will be a new one up there sometime tomorrow. I get the pleasure of working tomorrow morning, so it's probably going to be a little later than usual, but it will end up there. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget we have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Stu is not quite yet out there on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I can pass along any message you have for Stu, good, bad, or indifferent. I will send that to him, no problem. All right, at least we got those out of the way.
Oh, I did want to mention one thing, and as you well know, you always play that little excerpt from Annie before you play the music from Frank singing from New York, right, that Hard Knock Life thing? And you played it every day, correct?
Yes, that's technically our opening song.
Well, I want to remind everybody that next Thursday night on NBC, there's going to be a live version of the Annie the Musical. So if you want to hear that song and all the rest of them, tune in.
Yeah, and to be fair, our version is a tad bit different because it is the rapper Jay-Z's version that we're using. It's not
It is slightly different, but so you might want to go give it a listen, John. Maybe you'll like it. It's a great musical. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, no, I've seen it multiple times. So
Yeah, we saw that in New York in the late 70s, and I got to say that it was a smash. And oddly enough, they tried to do a couple of sequels. They were so successful with that one, and both bombed.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen any sequel. You know, I know they've remade it multiple times now, but, you know, that's just kind of what they did think.
Yeah, I don't recommend any of the movie versions. None of them come close to the original, except for the one that Disney came out with, believe it or not, on a TV movie a few years ago. And that was the closest one to the original Broadway production.
Yeah, I don't know. I can never remember which ones I've seen and which ones I haven't seen. Like I said, I've seen it multiple times. So it's just kind of like, oh, okay, hey, there's, you know. So
what is exciting in the great wide world of sports that we can talk about today?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, you mentioned that the Blackhawks actually have tied their game. I still don't know what goes on with this deal that the NHL has with ESPN. Apparently they can't air the games in the local market when they're on ESPN Plus, because I couldn't find the game. I went to watch some of it, and it was nowhere to be found.
Yeah, I didn't even know they were playing an early game today myself until I happened to notice it when I was online.
Yeah, and I can actually report to you that they won the game in overtime 3-2.
Wow. Who scored the winning goal?
Well, let me pull it up here, and I can tell you, as long as my internet wants to cooperate with me. You know, I do have those problems. I was a little concerned earlier that we weren't going to get to do the podcast because I had problems getting the switchboard to work. It wouldn't bring me in. I was like, oh, not now. So, all right, the game winner here was, this isn't really a surprise. It was Alex DeBrincat, and it was assisted by Patrick Kane and Seth Jones.
No big surprise, right?
Yeah, no, he's quite the goal scorer.
Impressive comeback win.
So, yeah, a bit of a surprise because, you know, St. Louis has a winning record while the Blackhawks are still, they're getting better, but they're under 500. At least they're now over 500 at home with the win. So,
yeah, they're inching close to the 500 mark, but they still got a ways to go.
Yeah, they're about four games under, so we'll have to see if they can and they've been playing a little, as odd as it is, a little better hockey since the coaching change. I honestly don't know how much any of that has to do with it, but, you know, you take what you can get, and I know sometimes that does kind of seem to almost spark a team.
Yeah, and obviously it's done some good this time because they were off to a horrendous start, and you can't blame management for making coaching change, really, with the start they got off to, because at one time in the preseason, didn't we mention that they were considered a contender this season for making the playoffs?
Yeah, there were actually guys who had them as a dark horse to win the Stanley Cup. So, yeah, but we'll see. I mean, they still got a pretty long way to go. I mean, they've played 20 of, 81 or 82 games. So they've got time to make up ground, but they've got a tougher schedule coming up. You know, their next four, they play San Jose, who's 10-8-1. Then they've got Washington, who's 12-3-5, and then they have back to back with the New York Rangers, who are 13-4-3. So they're moving into some much better competition. Now St. Louis was a good team at 10-7-3. But these teams are, at least Washington and New York are much, ahead of St. Louis point-wise.
Yeah. From what I've seen of the Blackhawks, it does not look like they have a very explosive offense.
Yeah, I don't think they've done as well as I guess they kind of thought they were going to do offensively. I mean, when you looked at it at first, you know, the additions they made looked like it would help the offense out, and then you thought just getting Jonathan Toews back as well would be a plus, but I don't believe he's managed to score a goal yet.
No, as he pointed out, I think a week or two ago, he has, eight or nine assists, but no goals, which is quite surprising.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking for the 8 assists, but no goal. So, and DeBrincat is the only guy over 10 right now through, you know, 20 games. He now has 12 when you add in today's goal. So.
Well, that was a nice, surprising comeback victory today against a plus 500 team.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, you know, part of the problem is I know they were expecting Kirby Dach to score more. He's got 3 goals. You know, I think they were kind of counting on him. I know Dylan Strom scored a little bit last year. He's only got 1 goal. He has only played 12 games, but, you know, you kind of expect these guys to score, and when you don't get it, it's like, you know, what do we do?
Yeah, Dach has been disappointing so far this season, Kirby
yeah.
Dach.
And you do wonder if maybe there's anything going on with the lingering injury that caused him to miss so much time last year. And, you know, maybe he'll get it going as the season goes on.
Yeah, one can only hope. And, oh, I have to ask you something regarding the finish of the Bears-Detroit game. Can you envision this scenario when the Bears call that timeout with 1 second to go? What if one of the Bears assistant coaches distracted Nagy at the last second, and he turned around and said, "What did you say?" And the time had elapsed.
Well, that would have been very Matt Nagy-like, wouldn't it, for something like that
to
happen?
It really would. It really would. Because there was some strange decision-making during that game once again.
Yeah, and, you know, and I think in all honesty, I believe the majority of Bear fans honestly thought Cairo Santo was going to miss the kick.
I had my doubts. Even though it was a chip shot and less than a point after, correct?
Yeah, it was I believe it was 28 yards.
And the extra point is about what, 30, 32, 33?
So yeah, definitely. But yeah, I'm sure there were definitely people out there who thought he was going to miss.
Would you have been surprised if he did?
No, you know, with just the way things have went with this team, wouldn't have been shocked at all.
Right, and he did miss earlier a 53-yard attempt that was once again down the middle, but I guess two or three yards short.
Yeah. Yeah, he was online. He just couldn't get it there. So.
And you can't use the wind as an excuse for that one, though.
No, and, well, you know, I mean, he just, he doesn't have that kind of leg. You know, he's not that type of kicker. He's very good. You know, there's no doubt about that. He's just not going to make those really long ones.
Yeah, and as they did in the that game last night between Las Vegas and Dallas, there were some long field goals that were made.
So, yeah, the biggest problem I had with the yesterday's games, especially the first two, was it was just penalty after penalty. And it was like, oh, okay, come on, let's go, you know.
That really mars the flow of a game, I feel, when there's penalty after penalty after penalty. And by and large, it looks like most of the penalties were holding, of the holding variety.
Yeah, well, you know, I know Dallas and Las Vegas, I almost said Oakland, Las Vegas racked up 28 penalties, 14 apiece.
Yeah, that silly slows the game down. And, you know, talking about these holding penalties, I've seen some other calls that were not made that look like easy hold calls, and sometimes they get away with it.
Yeah, it I almost think it depends on like which refereeing crew you end up with, on what kind of call you get.
Yeah, certainly there have been some questionable calls in the NFL this season, very iffy calls, and you don't want the referee to cause the outcome of a game.
No, but I mean, you'll see things, and it's like, wait, isn't that a penalty? And then there's no call. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
You know, it's just unfortunately the way they do it, I guess. So.
Who do the Bears play next?
But, yeah.
They're off. Obviously, they're off this Sunday. But who do they play? A conference team next, Minnesota, or is it?
You know, I thought, and off the top of my head, I forgot. I'll have to grab the schedule here and see what the schedule also. Well, I believe didn't they already played San Francisco, right?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So, and you know, and it's their third year to play the – oh, they're hosting the Arizona Cardinals.
Well, it doesn't look like the Bears are going to win that one.
Yeah, no, they have a really tough finish. After the Cardinals, then they go to Green Bay, then they host Minnesota, then they go to Seattle. Then they host the Giants, and then they go to Minnesota to finish the year. So they've got a really rough, what is it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 games to wrap up the season here.
Well, it looks like your preseason prediction is going to come true, maybe 6 wins.
So, yeah, that seems to be where they're going to end up. You know, and then Matt Nagy can move on to his next coaching position, and hopefully Ryan Pace will go with him.
Has there been any early speculation yet as to who the Bears will be considering for his replacement?
No, all the reports are saying, you know, that they've looked at guys and, you know, this and that, but nobody's actually said who they would be interested in hiring.
Well, I'm sure that once he's gone, that's going to be a huge topic of speculation then after that for quite a while until they make the announcement.
Yeah, well, you know, and of course the best thing for them is to wait because you just don't know who's going to become available, you know, as the season ends.
Yeah, maybe they can finally get someone decent this time.
So, yeah, you know, you hope. I mean, I know, you know, the Bears kind of have their own style and they don't like to hire guys with any type of, you know, coaching resume. They like those first-time guys. But hopefully, you know, they'll hit one this time. You know, they haven't really caught one for a while.
You think that eventually, I mean, just through the process of elimination, they've got to come up with a coach that does the job for them. Of course, we can't forget about Nagy, what he did his first season with the Bears.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, to be fair, I believe he has a winning record, and he's been, you know, he's taken the team to playoffs twice.
Yeah, and he does have a winning record. What he's, I think he's what 3 or 4 games over 500. Overall,
yeah, I mean, I don't know if they'll finish with a winning record because it's going to be a rough end to the season here,
yep.
But, you know, we'll see.
I'm wondering if Fields will play the next game.
Yeah, and that was the thing, like watching the game yesterday, what I was really curious on is if the Bears season would have went differently if they would have let Andy Dalton play.
Yeah, he obviously has a better resume than than Fields, and he's a lot smoother in, as a quarterback than Fields. And I was quite surprised, actually, that they just kept Fields in there so long after Dalton was healthy again.
Yeah, well, apparently the reports came out that it was a Mike McCaskey decision who wanted Justin Fields playing. So, you know you're in any kind of trouble if Mike McCaskey is telling you what to do when it comes to football.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he is lit.
Well, I hope we're not going to run into the same scenario we had with Trubisky and with flashes of occasional talent and another bust as a quarterback.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's all we've seen so far, but it's only been a few games, and I hope they're, you know, when they do go and make their new coaching hire, that they find somebody who can develop him.
Yeah, he's obviously a talented athlete, but he's not been all that impressive so far behind the helm.
You know, and I mean, he looks like the new style quarterback, but to be fair, with the exception of Mac Jones, none of these rookie quarterbacks have looked good.
No, they've all had their problems.
And, you know, and of course, a lot of it has to do with the fact that they all went to bad teams. You know, even technically last year, New England wasn't a very good team, but, you know, they're much better coached than the other teams. I mean, you know, Trevor Lawrence went to Jacksonville. They stunk last year. And, you know, Zach Wilson went to the Jets, and they were abysmal. And, you know, Trey Lance isn't even playing. The 49ers are doing pretty well, but Trey Lance doesn't have much to do with that.
No.
You know, in the way Jimmy Garoppolo is playing, you got to wonder if Trey Lance can actually beat him out for the job now.
And I have to mention one thing. I don't know about you, but I am not surprised at the turnaround for New England so far this season. I kind of expected that to happen.
Yeah, no. I mean, if you're surprised by New England being good again so quickly, you haven't been watching football long enough, because it's New England.
It doesn't seem to take them very long to rebuild.
No, and, you know, you also have to remember last year, you know, they had multiple defensive starters take the season off because of COVID-19.
Yeah, they did.
So just getting those guys back immediately made them a better team.
Yeah, it's a strange. I don't know who the clear-cut favorite is now in the AFC.
No, it's still really up for grabs. You know, I mean, I know there's a lot of people jumping on the Patriots bandwagon, but you know, Buffalo looked a lot more like Buffalo yesterday than
they bounced back.
Baltimore. You know, as long as Baltimore has Lamar Jackson taking snaps, they're going to contend. And you know, the Chiefs have won, I believe, 4 in a row, so maybe they're finding their way finally.
Yeah.
But it'll
be very interesting. The last few weeks of the season is going to be quite interesting.
Yeah, the games are, you know, the games are going to mean a lot with as many teams in the race as there is, especially in the AFC.
I would say in a couple of weeks, there'll be some Saturday games coming on pretty soon, right? Normally.
Yeah, they jump over to Saturday once the college football regular season wraps up. We'll get I think it's two games every Saturday.
Yeah, normally.
And they did flex some games already. They announced the games they're moving, you know, to get the primetime spot there on Sunday night on NBC. So,
well, I venture to say that the Bears won't be one of those teams.
No, unless they were playing somebody that was of importance, which down the stretch, you know, they're not going to flex the Bears Minnesota into a primetime spot. Even though, to be fair, the Bears do always get very good ratings when they're on national television.
Yeah, that surprisingly they do.
You know, that's one of the things the Chicago teams always seem to do well in is they get ratings when they're nationally televised.
They did come up with an entertaining game in their loss against Pittsburgh on national television.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's been a bit of an odd season for that team. I'm not sure where pieces really fit. So we'll have to see. I'm just more interested in getting the season over and seeing what they decide to do.
Yeah, that'll be of paramount interest to the long-suffering Bears fans.
So yeah, well, you know, it'll be very interesting. I'm just not quite sure. You know, I don't have a ton of confidence in them making the best choice.
Well, they made a couple of decent selections over the years. Roquan Smith, I think, is going to be a good ballplayer, though. I don't know how badly hurt he was during yesterday's game.
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen an update. So I don't think it's anything too serious because all the other injured guys who came out of that game and even the next ones, updates have already come out. So I'm guessing it wasn't too serious.
Yeah, we'll have an extra few days to recuperate.
Yeah. So hopefully he will be fine. But, yeah, switching up on you here, we actually had a couple more baseball signings. Believe it or not, the Red Sox are finalizing a deal with right-handed pitcher Michael Wacha. That's just pending a physical. They haven't reached financial terms yet. And then the Mets signed, I guess you'd call him an infielder because he does kind of play all over, Eduardo Escobar to a two-year deal. I know he was kind of on the White Sox radar as a possible second baseman, but he's off the board now. The Pirates are going to bring back Yoichi Setsugu, who did really well for them after just bombing in Tampa Bay. And I'm assuming the one you will find most interesting, while this isn't a signing, the Tigers have had a recent contract talk with Javi Baez and are focused on him over all the other shortstops on the market.
Oh, that is interesting. And I was going to ask you that with the Mets signing of Escobar, does that mean that they have no desire to bring back Javi for next season?
Well, Escobar is a second baseman. There was some talk of the Mets playing Baez at third, though, you know, they could still kind of mix that in if that's something they wanted to do. But, yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, the Tigers seem to be linked to all these guys. We'll just have to see if they can actually get one signed.
If some of these signings occur, are they going to be a 500 team next year?
Well, you know, I read a report that said they're going to try to go for it next year. So I'm assuming they want to make multiple signings. You know, they already did land Eduardo Rodriguez. You know, if they get the shortstop, we'll have to see where else they go and how much they're willing to spend.
I guess that maybe they'll give the White Sox a battle for the top slot in the Central next season. And don't forget about the Twins. They always seem to bounce back after a disastrous year. They always seem to come back and have a much better year the following season.
Yeah, they'll be really interesting to see how they handle things. You know, they sold off some really good pieces at the deadline. So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of retool or reload or whatever they're going to try to do.
Remember, they were a heavy favorite to win the division last season, too.
Yeah, they were a big-time pick, and it just, you know, between the injuries and everything else, it just didn't go their way. So, you know, we'll have
when
to
they
see.
Have a bad, when they have a bad year, it's not just a 79-83 bad year. It's a lot worse than that.
Yeah, they seem to stink when they bomb. So, but yeah, you do wonder, you know, if, you know, I still think they need some starting rotation help. I mean, I think they'll get Kenta Maeda back, but you know, you look at the rest of the rotation, and here's the five without Maeda. It would be Bailey Ober, Joe Ryan, Randy Dobnik, Griffin Jackson, Lewis Thorpe. Not exactly a rotation that I think is going to blow people away.
No, for sure. For sure.
You know, we'll have to – I definitely think if they're going to do something, they need to add – starting pitching somewhere.
Yeah, for sure. They'll definitely need that. And hey, talking about baseball, that reminds me. Next Wednesday, December 1st, isn't it?
Yes.
We know what's going to happen next Wednesday and Thursday, right?
Yeah, unless they manage to work something out here, you know, we will be without a collective bargaining agreement.
Does anybody really think that they're going to work something out by next Wednesday or Thursday? I don't see that happening.
Nah, you know, they never do. It's, you know, that's why, fortunately, the date is in winter, so we don't have to worry about the season being stopped or anything like that. So, yeah, it's a big plus that they do it this way. And you know, hopefully they will manage to work things out.
Yeah, you don't want to see anything prolonged again. I don't think the fans are going to put up with it.
Yeah, I can't see the fans, you know, coming back. You know, obviously they can't have a home run they did last time because, you know, steroids are now, you know, illegal. So I don't know what they'll do.
Yeah, I don't see the fan. They were lucky that Sosa and McGuire got away with what they got away with during that time when baseball resumed, because it brought the fans back.
Yeah, well, you know, there were no rules against it then. You know, nobody knew much about it, and you know, I'm sure, you know, most people just thought it was for bodybuilders, you know, and thinking it wouldn't help a baseball player.
Yeah, it's really concerning to me. We talked about this before, but I look at the face of Sosa before he started taking the steroids and afterwards, and I'm concerned for his long-term health.
Yeah, well, you know, you have to wonder about all those guys, you know, not only Sosa, but Barry
right.
Bonds and,
sure.
You know, any of the guys who were rumored to be on that train.
Yeah, you have to wonder if there does happen to be long-term health issues. You have to wonder if it was worth it or not to do that.
Well, you know, to be fair, they made a boatload of money, and you know, they got generational wealth out of it.
They did, but that won't do them any good if they're no longer among the living or die prematurely.
No, but I mean, obviously, you know, they took care of their family.
Yeah, that as you say, generational. Their generations
yeah.
upon generations don't have to worry about money because of how much they received.
So, and you know, and hopefully, you know, like we always mention, hopefully they're smart with it, and you know, they did the right thing.
Yeah. I think that at least Bonds, I think did invest wisely, but I hope Sosa did as well. I haven't heard anything about him, of course, and maybe eventually he'll be on good terms with the Cubs again. Down the road, then we'll attend a convention or two.
Yeah, hopefully somewhere down the line he'll get back in the good graces. You know, now that there's the different ownership, and you know, maybe we'll see him again.
Well, it won't be this time because there won't be a convention this next season.
Yeah, no. No, nothing going on this year. Well, you know, we'll see how that goes. So I was looking for one of those goofy. I saw one of those, you know, hey, make, you know, it's Black Friday, let's make trades. And I thought I saw one involving Wilson Contreras that I wanted to run by you, but I'm having a tough time finding it here. Oh, okay, well, this isn't much. They have him going to Miami for Jesus Luzardo. I thought they had more of an interesting deal.
It doesn't thrill me, that deal, but I don't know. I know he hit 20 home runs and played a lot of games for the Cubs, but I wasn't enchanted with his performance in 2021.
Well, you know, he is one of the best defensive catchers in the game. So
he has improved. He definitely has improved.
You know, he's always got, you know, he's always going to have that going for him. So, yeah, it's weird because, like, the other deals they propose have multiple players and three-team trades, and the Cubs got Wilson Contreras for Jesus Luzardo. So.
Not exactly.
Yeah, like, this one is funny. Like, the first one they had, that's what kind of got me excited about the article. They have the Phillies acquiring, it's a three-team trade. The Phillies would get Matt Chapman and Josh Hader. The Brewers would get Matt Olson and A.J. Puck, while the A's would get Keston Hiru, along with 5 prospects. They would get the Phillies' number 1 and 2 prospect, along with their 7th and 11th, and they would get the Brewers' number 1 prospect.
Well, that's a kind of a deal that you will know how it turns out for a number of years, really.
Well, at least on the A's end. But apparently that's what the A's looking to do, is they're looking to sell everybody.
Well, as we talked before, you know, they've done this many times before, and they always seem to field a respectable team anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, if they move all the guys they're talking about, I am wondering if they would be able to do that next year, or if it would take them a bit of, you know, a year or two to kind of get themselves righted.
Yeah, they would probably have a down year, but they seem to bounce back quickly.
Yeah, for whatever reason, you know, they do a nice job of finding those, you know, money ball players, because that's what, you know, what they do. So, you know, it worked out for them.
Yeah, it won't help them in the attendance market, though, I don't think.
No, the only thing that's going to help them in the attendance market is if they get that new ballpark and they actually can get a reason to attract fans.
Yeah, but I would say that's unlikely to happen.
Well, I did hear there was actually some positive news on that front. I don't remember what it was. It was a week or two ago. I don't know how much there was to it, but, you know, maybe eventually they'll work something out.
Yeah, one can only hope. It would be nice, and I'm sure. And they would probably increase their attendance a bit and gather some interest, but we'll see what actually happens.
So, yeah, and you know, I am kind of interested. I've heard two different things. Everybody seems to think the Yankees will be the team to pay Kyle Seager, and then I heard other reports that said the Yankees aren't going to spend big on a shortstop.
Well, we've seen this before when they always said the Yankees aren't going to be doing this or spending the big bucks, and they will turn around and spend the big bucks. And it's not,
yeah.
We shouldn't really look at it as a surprise anymore.
Yeah, no, I'm never surprised when they go out and get a guy. I just think it's kind of interesting that there's really two big different, you know, ideas there. Because you would think everybody would be on board with, oh, yeah, they're the Yankees. Of course they're going to go out and, you know, spend money. That's what they do.
That's exactly right. And I don't think the luxury cap bothers them all too much.
No, it doesn't bother them. It doesn't bother the Dodgers. You know, they just,
or
they
them
just
either,
seem
right?
to want to
That's
win.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it.
So, you know, you just, you want, you know, it's too bad there aren't more teams like that who would, you know, are willing to do that. Or, you know, if there was just something else they could do to work it out. But
yeah, that's where the small market teams are at a tremendous disadvantage.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's just nothing, you know, they just, since there's no, you know, salary cap or anything like that, there's really nothing they can do about it.
I was looking at some
of
the deals, and I would think that the Cardinals are the definite favorite to win the NL Central next season.
Yeah, I think they, you know, they've done a nice job so far with the, you know, the early signings. You know, they're, you know, and again, there's still a long way to go in the off season. So, but the Brewers don't necessarily make those big free agent splashes. And, you know, I know we talked about it a week or two ago about them trading Josh Hader while they do still have Devin Williams behind him in the pen. You know, you're looking at a guy that's untested and has never closed. So,
yeah, it'd be a very risky move on their part if they moved him.
You know, but yeah, I know they've been talking about it for years now. I think this is the third off season. There's been talk of him being traded.
Well, I'm sure that a lot of teams would be interested in getting him.
Well, you know, and you kind of wonder why. I mean, you're looking at a guy who's legitimately a lockdown closer, but for whatever reason, they just seem willing to, hey, okay, whatever, let's move him.
Yeah, it's always puzzling, and he has faltered on occasion, but heck, no one is perfect.
No, I mean, what closer doesn't have a hiccup here or there? So, you know,
well,
I mean, there, you know, what,
like, always, there's
always
not going to be that much movement now with the December 1st coming next week.
Yeah, well, you know, it'll be interesting to see if, you know, we get some more signings, you know, some big signings before that happens. You know, if there are going to be guys who are going to want to get out there and get that money before it possibly just kind of disappears.
And I don't know what the answer is. Maybe you know this. Say some of these players, these top-notch players, sign big, huge, multi-year contracts. What happens during this if there's a strike? Does it depend on the player?
Well,
if it's built into the contract, if he's paid or not?
Yeah, well, you know, the deal Steven Mott signed is guaranteed for $44 million, so he's going to get money. Depends what and how you negotiate.
Yeah, and, boy, you don't want to see this happen again, though. I mean, I expect a lockout, but that's as far as I want it to go. I don't want to see any disruption in spring training or anything else.
You know, obviously the biggest holdup is going to be money, like it always is. You know, that's just what happens. You know, somebody's going to want a bigger piece of the pie that somebody else isn't going to be willing to give up. But, you know, they'll have to battle that out. But I can't see the other things really being a hang-up. I mean, obviously, it makes sense to change that stupid arbitration rule where, you can send a guy down for a couple weeks, and then you get an extra year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sure the owners love it, but, you know, that's got to go. And, you know, hopefully they're smart enough to not approve, you know, the seven-inning doubleheader or that stupid runner on second rule. And, you know, everybody, but I think me, you, and Dan seems to be in agreement on the universal DH.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's coming. That's the one thing I think will be passed for the National League. But, boy, they just cannot pass the other ones that we talked about, the seven-inning doubleheaders and the runner on second. They just insulted a game of baseball if they do that.
Yeah, it would, you know, it would be ridiculous for them to do something like that. I hope they were smart enough to, you know, do that. And I'm sure we'll get some talk about, like, the robot umpire or possibly speeding up the game, you know, things like that. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, you wouldn't like to see that happening. I wouldn't. I think it would be a tradition that you got to have a live umpire there, because tradition kind of dictates that would continue, despite the fact that they make bad calls from time to time.
Yeah. It's baseball. You know,
right.
That's what baseball is. So, you know, you just got to kind of go with it. So we'll see how that goes. But
there's
yeah, hopefully.
There's one sport we haven't covered yet, by the way. There is one sport we haven't covered yet. Basketball.
Is there what? Oh yeah. Well, you know, we got the Bulls starting as soon as you and I get off the air. So.
Oh, early start, because they're in what, Orlando?
Orlando. Yeah, they're playing the Magic tonight, so it's a 6 p.m. start here locally, so I'll, you know, if I'm lucky, I'll get to see maybe a half hour of it before I got to pack it in for the night.
That's right. You got to work tomorrow. It's...
Yeah. Yeah, so very early start, 12:30 a.m. for me, so it will be an early night.
Well, the Bulls need a bounce back, because that was an embarrassing loss to a team that had lost, 15 in a row?
Yeah, 15 in a row the Rockets had lost coming into that game, and somehow they beat the Bulls.
And I hope they learned what they did wrong during that game and can turn it around for tonight.
Yeah, well, because, you know, they're playing another bad team. Orlando is just 4-15 and 1-7 at home. So,
if they lose tonight, are we going to set the word?
Their leading scorer is former Bull Wendell Carter. So, yeah, well, I think we should if they blow this game, right?
You would think so. And we knew that the lack of size was going to hurt them from time to time, and unfortunately, it seems to be one of their flaws, but they still should have beaten an inferior team like Houston.
Yeah, you know, even on a bad night, you've got to beat those teams. So you just can't allow yourself to fall down like that. But
now, even,
you know, eventually.
Remember, they beat the Clippers and the Lakers on the road quite convincingly in both games. I know that they had some players, some of their top players are out of the game, but so what? That was a dominant performance by the Bulls, winning easily both games. And to turn around and lose to Houston does not set well.
No, it's definitely not a positive when it comes to, you know, looking at the future. But, you know, I mean, sometimes teams do look past those kind of teams.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, it's just like, oh, okay, well, we're going to beat this team easily. We don't even have to show up. And then the next thing you know, they're beat. So.
Yeah, I guess the Bulls are not the kind of team that can just kind of turn it in against a subpar team. They got to play full tilt like they're playing a contender every time out. And that's not going to be – that's not easy to do.
No, definitely not. But all right, well, since we are on the Bulls here, let's get into some picks. You went 2-2 last week, so you're 83-70. Tonight the Bulls are a 9.5 point favorite. You taking the points, or you're gonna give them and have the Bulls cover that?
Well, I think the Bulls will win, but I don't think they're gonna cover the 9.5. I think they'll win, but by less than the 9.5 points.
All right. And then the over-under for this game is 212.5. Does it go over or under?
It's a tough one. I will say over.
All right. And then now the Bulls have a really quick turnaround, actually, here. They come back to Chicago, and they play Miami tomorrow night. Just plain and simple, do they beat Miami in the back-to-back like that?
That's not going to be easy, but I think they're due to have a good performance at home, so I'm going to pick them to defeat Miami tomorrow night.
All right, and then let me see what we got here. The Blackhawks' next game is, I thought it was Sunday, but I want to double check. Yes, it is. They are home against San Jose. You got them winning, or are you going with San Jose?
I'll go with San Jose in that game.
Ooh, all right. So we will lock those all in, and now we are all set. So there we go. So.
Well, you have a couple minutes left. I wanted to ask you about that incident that took place at Raw Monday night. What's your take on that thing when the fan tackled Seth Rollins?
Yeah, well, if I read correctly, apparently he was, I want to say mentally challenged was the phrase I saw them use, and he was scammed by somebody out of money pretending to be Seth Rollins.
I didn't know he was mentally challenged, but that doesn't surprise me because, the funny thing about it was that he had his girlfriend write a check for $3,000 to Seth Rollins, supposed Seth Rollins, which is funny when you think about it. Well, he's a little short of money, Seth Rollins. This guy's got to be a millionaire, right? But short of money, so he had his girlfriend write him a check for $3,000. Of course, the check bounced because she didn't have the money either. So I have the unfortunate feeling that they're both developmentally challenged, like as you pointed out.
So, yeah, and I mean, you know, as much as it was completely wrong what the guy did, he was legitimately just thinking he was getting it, you know, going out there to try to get his money back.
Yeah. Yeah, and
at least take it off him.
I guess the term they use for that now is catfishing.
Is that what they call it? Yeah, I just kind of say it. You know,
You're pretending you're somebody else, and it's unfortunate that people are so gullible to believe that. But I'm sure it happens every day, and people get taken for lots and lots of money.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I think I told you we had a very serious incident like that at work a few months ago. So.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, an older lady got scammed out of $9,000 in cash. She boxed it up and sent it along with a $5,000 check. So.
Why did she do that? Well, what was her reasoning for that? What did she think was going on?
Unfortunately, we didn't get that side of the story. It was just that's what, you know, somehow the scammer convinced her to do that, and she did it. And Fortunately, the sun caught the package before it actually got to its destination. But then, to make it even sadder, my company lost it. So we don't know what happened.
So she's out the money.
It was insured, but not for what it was actually worth. So she'll get something in return, just not the value of what it actually was.
What about the check?
But,
what about the check? I could see the money being lost, but the
check. The check is easy. Stop payment on it or whatever you've got to do. After our investigation, which is part of what my job is at work, we pretty much kind of decided that the check got pitched anyway, so nobody was going to try to cash it. And our fear is that the box came open and somebody saw the money and got greedy.
Well, you can see that happening, and I'm sure she's quite embarrassed about the incident.
Yeah, and well, you know, like you said, unfortunately, it happens all the time. For a long time, I was getting those messages from, you know, people asking me for help and wanting money, and it's like, I don't know you. Why would I send you money?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of those get deflected into junk. Most of mine go into junk, or I can just get rid of them all.
Yeah, that's what, you know, well, you know, I was getting them as Facebook messages, and I was just like, oh, you know, come on. So, some of, to be honest, some of the people I just kind of messed with and had fun with and just kind of strung them along for a little bit, before getting them. So, you know, because you are curious how much time these people would waste for, you know, in some cases they weren't even looking for, but, you know, like $50. It's like, is it really worth your time? You know, you've been sending me messages for 10 days. There has to be something better. But,
yeah
obviously, if you get a message, they don't need money.
Hey, listen, I'm tempted when I get something from a nouvelle young lady about 20 years old wants to get together with me.
Yeah. Oh, see, I get the Russian women who want me to fly them over to the country so we can get married.
Oh, love at first sight, huh?
Yeah. You know, that's what I wonder. You know, could I get on TV, or what's the other one, 90 Day Fiancé or something?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh.
Linda likes those shows, by the way. She loves to watch those shows. I guess I've seen bits and pieces. They can be fun.
No, I see the commercials all the time because I watch the other networks associated with that network, but I've never seen one. It's not really my thing, so.
Yeah, the saddest thing is when I've seen some of those episodes of Dr. Phil when the 70-year-old lady sends money to someone in Nigeria, she's fallen in love with him, and some 18-year-old guy. Well, he needed the money. What can I do? But I mean, that and the money is usually never recovered.
No, yeah, it's if you do that, it's gone. I know we got a little shot of pressure, but not how to take on to start our week. Hopefully, I'll be able to do it.
Roll out!